in the Delaware River Basin and beyond. DamascusCitizens.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello.
This is Rosie Starr for Radio Catskill. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Jess Beveridge and Tanis Qualchuk from Farm Arts Collective share an audio performance all about the flowers grown on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm. It's called Flower to the Power of Two. Then, Mark Gidley, arborist living in Hankins, New York, visits with reporter Stephanie Phillips. In her segment Now You Know, you'll hear practical information about protecting your trees from disease and pests. All of that springtime fun coming up on Farm and Country for WJFF Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Owen Walsh with the River Reporter. Sullivan County has revised its room tax law to be more comprehensive. Specifically, the definition of lodging facility has been expanded to encompass any shelter being used to lodge a guest occupant on an overnight basis. Treasurer Nancy Buck recently announced that all short-term lodging facilities are subject to the 5% bed tax. This includes hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts, and homes that are rented out partially or fully for less than 90 days. This means the room tax is also applied to people who offer rooms in their own residences via services like Airbnb. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced last Thursday that for the first time, the number of New York adults who have received the COVID-19 vaccine now outweighs the number of New Yorkers who have not received the vaccine. For residents 18 and older, more than half of the state has received at least their first dose, and one-third of New Yorkers have been fully vaccinated. New Yorkers can look for available vaccine appointments through the New York State Department of Health or on Sullivan County's Public Health Services website. And the Western Sullivan Public Library is holding its annual budget vote for the 2021-2022 budget next week. The vote is taking place on Wednesday, April 21st, from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. at each of the library's branches from Calicoon to Narrowsburg. This news update is produced in partnership with the River Reporter. I'm Owen Walsh.
Think about how much it means to have this amazing radio station in your life. Then make your contribution at WJFFradio.org. That's WJFFradio.org.
You are listening to Radio Catskill. It's our spring fun drive, and joining us live on the phone is the host, producer, creator, extraordinaire, Farm and Country, Rosie Starr. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning to everyone out there, and happy celebrations of Earth Day.
There's a lot going on.
It's wonderful that Farm and Country is on the air now with Radio Catskill, and people are out in the community celebrating Earth Day. The sun's about to come out.
Yes, it's it looks like it might peak out here. It's supposed to be in the mid-50s or lower to mid-50s today. Sunny tomorrow, though, and a high near 60.
I think I caught a stray sunbeam when I was getting ready to leave because, I stumbled out the door in short sleeves and shorts. So, and then I get out there, I'm like, boy, it's colder than I thought.
Well, it is April. It's that time of the year where things are in flux. Daffodils are blooming, as with the forsythia, and so is Radio Catskill. They're blooming. It's the spring fun drive, and it's time for Farm and Country listeners to get their sweet dose of goodness. I understand people tell me, Tim and Jason tell me often, that so many people in the community love Farm and Country, and I believe it's because we offer our audience some sweet goodness sourced from our community.
Yeah.
And today we're going to hear a couple of those things. Jess Beveridge and Tanis Qualchuk have a lovely audio performance that they shared with us. This piece was included in Art and Bloom in the Everhart Museum in Scranton back in March, at the end of March. And Farm Arts Collective wrote to me and said, JFF should use this for Farm and Country. So it's all about the flowers that are grown on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm. And all you have, the audience just has to imagine flowers dancing, that Canis and Jess are inside animating the flowers. So that's what we're going to offer you. And while you're listening to that, I'd like you to keep in mind that in honor of Earth Day and in honor of one of our community members that loves to spread the goodness around the planet, many people know Ed Wesley. He has spread so much information and wonderful knowledge about monarch butterflies. He has worked with second graders in the Damascus community, and he created a series of brochures. And he said to me recently, Rosie, Radio Catskill, maybe they can use this for on their radio station. Maybe some young parents have children in the second grade that would love to have these brochures, so I'm offering you a set. So as you're listening to Tanis with her flowers and you want to give us a call at 845-482-4141 or go online with wjffradio.org, perhaps you'll want to donate to the radio station and receive this lovely packet of brochures. And whenever Tim is ready to play Tanis and Jess,
yeah,
we'll be waiting for your phone call at 845-482-4141.
Yes, we will. There's a phone call coming in right now. We also want to thank Dana from Loch Sheldrake who called in. And Jason, you have somebody that called in.
We want to thank Mr. Yo becoming a sound supporter.
That's great.
Saying that was a great interview, and I got to go.
Okay, he's getting the phone because they're already calling in for that extra special gift that you've got there. And also to support Farm and Country on Radio Catskill, call 845-482-4141 or donate online, WJFFradio.org.
Blooming, 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 blooming.
Asclepias.
Asclepias.
Bought butterfly weed is a milkweed native to North America and a traditional medicine of First Nations people. Not only is the flower a beautiful orange, it can be used to relieve inflammation and bronchial complaints. Asclepias is also monarch butterfly's favorite flower.
Aster.
Aster.
Is native to China and Korea and has been cultivated for 2,000 years. We love using them in bouquets because they are puffy and softly colored, and their pliable stems are very easy to work with.
Bee balm.
Bee balm.
Or Monarda is part of the mint family. Other names include bergamot and Oswego tea. First Nations Blackfoot and Ojibwe used bee balm for skin infections and minor wounds. It was also used as a tea for bronchial ailments and throat infections.
Bupleurum.
Bupleurum.
Or thoroax is an herb used in Chinese medicine. Bupleurum root is said to disperse qi and clear heat from the liver network. Modern science is investigating the effects of bupleurum on liver enzymes, mood, and immunity. But on our farm, we like to use the flowers as gorgeous filler.
Calendula.
Calendula
is a member of the daisy family. Sacred in India, native to southwestern Asia, its antifungal and antimicrobial properties help prevent infection and heal injuries to skin and tissue. And best of all, you can decorate your birthday cakes with the pretty flowers and eat them too.
Celosia.
Celosia.
A dramatic flower in the amaranth family. Derived from the ancient Greek word kilios, or burning. Native to East Africa, the Swahili word is mufungu. Celosia is eaten in Indonesia and Indian curries. And on our farm, we grow the cristata, the brain-like flower, and the spicata, the feather-like flower. Delphinium.
Delphinium.
Derived from the ancient Greek word meaning dolphin, delphinium is a member of the ranunculus family. This tall, stately flower in blue, white, and pink looks like it belongs in a proper English garden. It is not easy to germinate from seed, but well worth the effort.
Eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus
is a genus of over 700 trees in the myrtle family. Native to Australia, in our flower field in Pennsylvania, we grow it as a green accent in bouquets. Eucalyptus has an incredible scent, and it is one of our favorite plants to cut for its pure aromatherapy.
Foxglove.
Foxglove.
Or in Latin, digitalis, means finger. This biannual plant contains a heart medicine called digoxin, which is extracted from the various plants of this genus. Even though foxglove has medicinal uses, it can also be extremely toxic to humans and animals.
Gomphrena.
Gomphrena.
Gomphrena globosa, or globe amaranth, is native to Central America. The little flowers are really great for drying because they keep their brilliant, intense color. And if you want to do some dyeing, the beta cyanins in globe amaranth can be used as a natural food dye for a red-violet color.
Iris.
Iris.
A beautiful perennial found in many home gardens here. It takes its name from the Greek word for rainbow. Nearly all species are found in temperate northern hemisphere zones, from Europe to Asia and across North America.
Larkspur.
Larkspur.
Or Delphinium consolida is a member of the buttercup family. We plant seeds every October in the greenhouse, making it one of our first cut flowers in late May. This plant is toxic to humans and animals, but these beautiful spray flowers are so worth the risk.
Lavender.
Lavender.
Or lavandula is another member of the mint family. It is found around the world in most temperate climates. Commercially, the plant is grown mainly for the production of lavender essential oils and ingredients for the finest fresh soaps and perfumes.
Ooh la la! Lupin.
Lupin.
Or lupinus is in the legume family. The seeds of lupins are commonly called lupini beans and were popular with the Romans who cultivated the plants. Today, lupini is still eaten in Italy. But on our farm, the lupin flower is possibly the most incredible spring flower that we grow.
Poppy.
Poppy.
We love growing poppies on our farm. Poppies are grown for many reasons, for opium, for bread seeds, and in our case, for their absolute beauty. Our favorite poppy, pictured here, is called the drama queen.
Of course it is. Rudbeckia.
Rudbeckia,
commonly called black-eyed Susan, is a flower in the family Asteraceae, found in all 10 Canadian provinces and across the U.S. In traditional medicine, Rudbeckia was used on snake bites, burns, and open wounds. As a flower, it is possibly the most cheerful addition to any bouquet that we make.
Salvia.
Salvia
is the largest genus of plants in the mint family, with nearly 1,000 species. We grow an ornamental salvia called Blue Better, which attracts bees all summer long. The name salvia derives from the Latin salvere, to feel well and healthy. We love it because it looks like lavender, but much easier to grow.
Scabiosa.
Scabiosa.
Or pincushion flower. It sounds like a terrible skin disease. That's because in traditional folk medicine, scabiosa was indeed used to treat scabies, an illness that causes a severe itching sensation.
Snapdragon.
Snapdragon.
Have flowers that resemble the face of a dragon that opens and closes its mouth when squeezed. On our farm, we plant snapdragons early in our hoop house because they favor cool temperatures and do best in the earliest weeks of summer. Our favorite varieties include Madam Butterfly and Rocket Mix. Zinnia.
Zinnia.
Symbolizes lasting friendship, goodness, and remembrance. We grow 1,800 zinnia plants each year on our farm, giving it the title, the workhorse of the flower farm. Zinnias are native to Mexico, and they hate frost, so they are often the first flowers to bid us farmers a fond adios each autumn.
Adios!
You're listening to Farm and Country on WJFF Radio Catskill. It's our Spring Fun Drive. Donate at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. And the mastermind behind Farm and Country is on the line right now, Rosie Starr. Hi.
Hi, Tim. It's so nice to be here with the audience, and I'd like to thank Masterminds Jess and Tanis for that lovely...
That was fun.
Wasn't that fun? They bring so much goodness to our community. And yes, we are sustained by financial support from our listeners, sustained by the programs and skills and dedication of volunteers and a staff offering a diversity. Do you see the diversity of the programming that we have? And
yeah.
Farm and Country is part of that blooming bunch bouquet. I'd like you to call 845-482-4141. to show your support, not only for Tanis's programs, but all the volunteers that make up Fallerman Country, Keith Hubbard, Christine San Jose, Stephanie Phillips, Sweetwater Fishing Guide, Evan Padua. We're going to hear from his delightful techniques next week. And we have a new couple of guys. They're outdoor enthusiasts, Matt and Alex Hasha from Cooks Falls, New York. It's a team effort that brings Farm and Country to the airwaves, as the entire radio station, Radio Catskill, is a team effort of volunteers and staff sourcing the best radio from our community to you. So call 845-482-4141 and let us know how much you appreciate. Tell us what's important to you.
We heard from Joe and Jane in Milanville, and they said that what's important to them is Farm and Country. They love everything we do, and they also are looking forward to receiving those Ed Wesley books. So they thank us for that. And we thank them for their donation and for supporting Radio Catskill. So call 845-482-4141 or go online to wjffradio.org. What's up next? We've got Stephanie Phillips. Is that right?
Yes, we have Stephanie Phillips. She's one of the anchors of Farm and Country. She's going to be markedly arborist. Now, you know that Stephanie does, she really dives into her research and as a reporter brings the best. She's been with this man, markedly an arborist living in Hankins. People stop me on the street all the time and say that was one of my favorite interviews. And I'm bringing to you again, you're going to hear practical information about protecting your trees from disease and pests. What a perfect thing for celebrating Earth Day. But what we need to do now is make the phone ring to show your support, 845-482-4141. It's very important to support this radio station that brings the best from our community to you.
Donate now at wjffradio.org or 845-482-4141.
This is Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country. This morning, I'm interviewing Mark Gidley, who is an arborist in Hankins, New York. He's originally from the UK, but he got his certification at the New York Botanical Garden. He has worked on both the West Coast and East Coast. Here's Mark.
When I started out, I lived in Westchester County. I rarely go down there these days. Now I focus far more on the Calicoon area and usually anywhere within about a 30-minute drive, whether it's across the Delaware or traveling east. We don't have a problem if there's somewhere that's an hour away. This tree that needs to be helped and is suffering, then we've got no problem trying to save a tree.
You have a lot of empathy for the trees.
I do. Don't get me wrong, there's some days I've been hauling logs and dragging brush and sweating like crazy, but it's enjoyable. You go home and at the end of the day you feel like you've accomplished something. And working outdoors for me is a very enjoyable thing. Admittedly, it can get really hot in the summer and very cold in the winter. But nevertheless, I enjoy being outdoors, and especially in this neck of the woods.
You had mentioned that you had done some planting for street trees in towns around here.
That's correct. Actually, in Orange County, I planted several street trees for the town of Florida. We planted Bradford pear in the town of Jeffersonville. And they're all there. Every tree that we put in is doing well. Every time I drive through the town, it's nice to see them flourishing.
They're very pretty with white blossoms in the spring.
They are. And they do produce fruit. A lot of people think that they're fruitless, but if you look at the specific time of year, you'll see teeny tiny what looks like pips, and that really is the pear.
I asked Mark about diseases and varmints that might attack our trees.
Dutch elm disease wiped out a lot of the American elms back in the very late 50s, right through until the early 70s. And ironically, Dutch elm disease didn't come from Holland. It was two arborological pathologists, tree pathologists, that discovered it in Rotterdam, in Holland. And that's why it's called Dutch elm disease. There's so many different fungus that have been hitting the apple trees. There's something called fire blight, and it looks like the leaves have been scorched. And if you see that, try and get that tree out as soon as possible. If it's a tree that's mature and been there a while and you don't want to cut it down or take it out straight away, call your local arborist and see if there's some way around it that it can be treated. Try and save it if you can. The only problem with fire blight, I've seen an orchard wiped out literally in 6 weeks.
So it gets pear trees too.
Pear trees, it hits more than apple trees. Absolutely. And it's a difficult one to contain. Copper-based fungicides are used. A 10% bleach solution is used. And the best time to spray any type of apple or pear tree is right when the flower is out. They're most receptive to sprays at that point in time. You know, they are at other times in the year when there's foliage out, but that is the time to get them.
Mark, are there other diseases that trees might get besides, you mentioned, blight?
There are so many diseases out there that trees get that we could have another 2 or 3 hours talking about. Each year there's something new. For example, with the maples, there's something called verticillium wilt that will hit those. Then there's something else called anthracnose, which has been wiping out the dogwood. They're prevalent in this neck of the woods.
Now, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about pests.
Okay. The fall bagworm, which a lot of people were calling caterpillar. Fall bagworm does its thing in the fall, and it will come in and it will skeletonize some of the leaves and it will cause a certain amount of damage. The plus side of that is the cold weather comes in and wipes them out. And I have sprayed some organic sprays to put some of those guys in check. Some people will try and burn them out, but usually they're not a big problem. They go for the birch trees a lot. Birch and cherry trees, you'll see them. They're not as bad as some of the caterpillars, you know, the tent caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the northern tent, the forest tent, and then the gypsy moth, which tends to be really bad. That used to go in a 7-year cycle, but that cycle got broken some time ago because we had a very humid summer. And the humidity caused them to have a disease which wiped them all out. So that took that 7-year cycle out.
We know that there's some animals that like to eat the bark of trees. Those voles, they're just killers. What do you do about that?
One of the most simple things to get those nasty little critters away are mothballs, naphthalene. When I first started out, was planting a bunch of small tulips or lilies or something, just the bulbs. And with each bulb, I was putting in a little fertilizer. Now, the fertilizer had a little bit of bone meal in it. And that bone meal brought in skunks and the raccoons and a few other four-legged creatures. And I'd put in about 200 to 300 bulbs. Well, each one of those bulbs had been dug up and was above grade and probably a disappointed creature to not find what he was looking for there. Because it had that smell with the bone meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and replanted everything. And with each one, I put in 2 mothballs. Very simple. Go to the dollar store, get a few boxes of mothballs. I've got a problem with beaver, then I'm going to do chicken wire. If you've got a problem with deer, then there's all kinds of sprays out there that you can put down. There's hot pepper spray, there's rotten eggs and ammonia. There's dog hair, there's human hair, there's soap. Next to that, you put a fence around the whole thing, but not so enjoyable looking at a fence.
Sometimes you see trees wrapped with this white, it looks like tape. What's that?
Okay, sometimes when a tree is younger, they'll have like a little plastic sleeve that's around it, and that basically is to enable, while it's growing, to keep a lot of those nasty critters away. Rabbits quite often will come along, groundhogs will chew on the bark. And if they girdle that tree, then they're going to destroy the cambium layer, and then your tree dies in turn. Some of the taller trees, I mean anything taller than, let's say, 6-7 feet, then the deer will come in a certain type of year, and they'll rub on it. And that too can cause problems. So even if the deer aren't going to eat it, the male might come along and rub on it, and that rubs a lot of the bark off.
Mark, what about woodpeckers? Some of my apple trees have just holes all around them. Does that hurt the tree?
Okay, so what you're seeing is not woodpecker. What you're seeing is something created by a bird called the yellow-bellied sapsucker. Cute little bird. They're very smart. What they'll do is put a series of holes, very symmetric holes too, you may have noticed.
Yes.
They'll put a series of holes in apple trees in particular, sometimes pear trees, and then the pear or apple will exude the sap. And in turn, bugs will be attracted by that fragrance. It's just like you and I walking past a deli and you smell something cooking, it makes you want to go in there. Or just like if you smell bacon or coffee. So the bugs go right to that tree, some will get stuck in the sap. So the yellow-bellied sapsucker, he does like a little bit of the sap, but he also likes those bugs. So he'll come back and then he'll take his choice of bugs. And that's the reason that you're seeing all those holes, because during the course of a summer, one bird can put several hundred holes into a tree. Yeah.
Very clever of him. Mark, if some of the tree trunk gets rotted out, is there anything you can do about that?
Okay. If the tree trunk is rotted, go to the outside perimeter of where the rot is and see if the bark is still attached but lifted away from the tree trunk itself. So if the bark is able to pull away, pull all the loose bark away. That will naturally drop off. You need to take that back to live growth. If you just leave it be, then all kinds of little creatures can get in underneath there, damp can get in underneath there, bacteria can get in underneath the dead bark. So get that loose bark out of there. I use a knife that has a very interesting crook shape to it to pull off the bark. And then what I'll do, it's called tracing, is I'll cut it back to the live section of the bark where I can see the cambium, where I can see a little bit of green. If you're making a pruning cut on a live branch, it's much better just to leave it to heal over naturally. And it's called collaring, where it slowly closes in around that round little circle that you've cut where the branch is. There's a specific place to cut, and that's called the BBR. That stands for branch bark ridge. And there are striations on the trunk going up the trunk, and then the striations going out on that branch. Where those two meet is the place to be cutting. You don't want to cut it too close to the trunk and have a really wide wound, and you don't want to leave a stub, because ordinarily that stub will die back. And then you have a small little dead piece of wood that acts like a sponge, that will hold water and in turn starts to infect the trunk itself, and you get a wet rot in the forms inside the trunk. So the best place to cut is the BBR. Different trees have slightly different spots.
Mark told me that he is willing to answer your questions about tree care. He prefers email because phone service is spotty where he is.
Contact me via email, so treeusa@yahoo.com.
So thanks to Mark Gidley, tree expert from Hankins, New York, now you know about tree diseases and pests and how to defend against them. I'd love your suggestions for future topics and experts. Just email me at Stephanie, Stephanie, at wjffradio.org. This has been Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country.
And you're listening to Farm and Country on Radio Catskill. During our spring pledge drive, please support public radio by calling 845-482-4141 or going online to wjffradio.org and make your donation. Rosie Starr is here. And Rosie, I don't know if you know this, but joining you on the phone on another line is, who's up next? It's Donna Fellenberg. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey. Oh, Donna, what a treat. This is such a lovely treat. We used to be in the studio together doing this. It's nice that with technology and Jason and Tim, we can be together on the phone.
We've done a lot of these fun drives together. We've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Guys are doing a great job even remotely. We've got heard from a lot of folks. We heard from Dana and Locke Sheldrick. We heard from Joe, who called in as well from Milanville. And we have Anonymous in support of Farming Country and all the volunteers calling in. And we're getting closer to our goal for the day, believe it or not. As of all the things that have happened this morning, we only have $920 to go. So please.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, big morning. And so we're counting on those folks that love Catskill Character help bring it home. So call 845-482-4141 or go online to wjffradio.org. Rosie, thank you for another lovely Farm and Country. Anything